Talk Live. And you can join us here. All you got to do is dial in at 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Ian.
Me, Bonnie.
And Aria.
Of course, you can bring up anything. Coming up here on the show tonight, get some crypto-related news. I've had a couple of stories show up recently that I thought, wow, we definitely need to talk about, including bye-bye Bitcoin. It's time to ban cryptocurrencies.
I love that there are statists out there who want to attempt this because it shows how little understanding they have of cryptocurrency in the first place if they think that somehow a government can just ban it.
Yeah, they think, that's causing issues for the government that I like. Our government should ban that.
Yeah, so I want to get into that coming up here. But, you know, first, a Joe Biden update because I just find this guy to be entertaining. I didn't really think I would, but turns out the Biden gaffes are really, really entertaining. Just the ramblings, the meanderings of his mind, wherever it's going to.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Corn Pop?
Have you not seen that one?
What is that?
It was.
Is this a Biden thing?
It is. He was giving a speech memorializing a black community member or something like that, and he starts talking about kids stroking his leg hair.
I've seen that. Was that in that?
It goes on
to
Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he attacked him with knives in the parking lot or something. It's just total raving, incoherent babbling, and it's one of the greatest things you can ever watch.
Well, now he's saying the grandkids are going to start asking their grandparents, why are there aliens on that side of the moon or something like that?
He did talk about aliens recently, actually, in one of his statements, and also talked about one of the conspiracy theories that he drinks the blood of children.
He did? I didn't know he actually said that.
Yeah, that was mentioned. I don't know if that was at the CNN town hall. I've got some clips. Just over the last several days, there's been all these clips coming out from one of the most recent CNN town halls. So I guess what they do, and CNN's very pro-Biden, right? Like they were anti-Trump, and look, I'm against all these presidents. I want to make sure it's clear. I only liked Trump because he was entertaining. Now, Biden turns out to be entertaining in a completely different way. Trump was entertaining in an outrageous, boisterous,
he was a troll,
bombastic troll manner, and Biden's entertaining in a sad, watching a train wreck kind of manner. You can't take your eyes away from it, but it's also very sad to watch a geriatric man who probably should be in some sort of monitored care facility take the stage as the president of the United States.
I don't know that it's sad. To me, it's one of the greatest things ever, right? The current president of the United States is, as you described him, a geriatric patient who should be under monitored care because he's clearly senile, or he at least has moments of extreme senility.
Oh, yeah.
He has like a scary look on his face all the time, though. I feel like he's like, it's more scary than funny or sad. It's creepy to watch.
And I want to believe, I haven't
especially heard when he's around little children.
Oh, that's really creepy, yeah. I haven't heard his thing about aliens, and I want to believe the U.S. government is hiding the existence of extraterrestrials or whatever, but this is the same guy who talked about kids stroking his leg hair, so I can't put a whole lot of faith in it.
So there's some news that we can talk about with Biden, which is that his legal team is backing up Trump once again. Remember a few weeks ago or like a couple weeks ago, we were talking about the Cuba situation where the protests were going on. By the way, what's going on in Cuba? I haven't heard anything recently, and nor that I really look for it.
Crackdowns?
Well, I know that was last week when we were talking about the crackdowns. So I'm wondering if, what has transpired over the last week. But the news was that Biden was basically going to uphold the Trump administration's executive order to prohibit any kind of remittances with the island of Cuba as long as it goes through Cuban government. And of course, everything goes through Cuban government that has to do with money or remittances, which is families sending money from the U.S.
Didn't they ultimately say they were going to look into a way of doing it while avoiding that Cuban company that there's no way for them to actually avoid?
Which is basically them kicking the can down the road and depriving the Cuban people of much-needed help from their family members here in the United States.
They could use Bitcoin.
They could use Bitcoin, and they should be using Bitcoin. If they're smart, they will do that, and we will come back to that. But now Biden's legal team is backing the Trump administration again and saying that inmates are going to have to return to prison after they were allowed to leave federal prison during COVID due to the, well, COVID situation. We'll get into that. But first, I've got some of these Biden gaffes here, and kudos to, I guess, Sky News in Australia. Alan Jones put together a few of them all in one place because they're just scattered about all over the place. So he plays them all here in this two-minute clip.
Oh, I can't wait.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Okay, that's a lie.
It is demonstrably a lie, and that's why the vaccinated people are upset with the unvaccinated, because they can still get the Delta strain, so to speak.
Or whatever comes next.
Yeah, well, I don't know which strain, you know, the vaccinated are getting, but you can definitely still get COVID-19 if you're vaccinated.
Also, did you hear recently that the PCR test has apparently been thrown out by the FDA as unreliable?
Well, thank goodness for that. It only took them... What, 17, 18 months?
Yeah, and they based all their policies off of the PCR test.
And we've been, you know, talking about this on national radio for the last 17 months, talking about how it's not reliable.
Let's go on.
Yeah. That's not true. But the bloke's unchallenged. And then this incoherent rambling about men on the moon and aliens. Listen to this embarrassing diatribe.
You got the vaccination?
Yeah.
Are you okay? I mean, you seem... No, it works. Or the mom and dad, or the neighbor, or when you go to church, or when you're, I really mean it. There are trusted interlocutors. Think of the people, if your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not, you know, who are the people they talk to beyond the kids who love talking about it?
Huh? Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the president.
Okay. There was the aliens clip, by the way.
When Ian first played that for me, I wasn't looking at the video. I thought it was a clip of a whole bunch of random things he said, but it was just one.
Nope, that's CNN. Fake. That's not a deep fake.
It sounds like someone just clipped a bunch of different random Biden speeches and put them together. That's rough, man.
Yeah, it is.
And he was talking to someone. So he at the beginning, he said, "You got the vaccine and you're okay." And the man was like, "Yep." And then he just starts rambling. That guy.
Yeah, this
is
the
host
on CNN. He's talking on a stage with the CNN host.
I like how concerned Biden sounded. And you're okay? What? You got the vaccine and you're still standing?
What? Man on the moon. Something. What the hell has this got to do about anything? This is a town hall meeting. The bloke's unchallenged and he's rambling. Listen to this. He actually tries to explain what the question is and then makes an appalling mess of answering his own question.
And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are. Why can't the experts say we know that this virus is, in fact... it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
Can you pause it?
Yeah.
What the hell was the question?
I don't know. I don't think he knows either.
Well, the question was that, Aria.
I mean, wow.
I don't understand what he just said. Those were all certainly words, but they were not in any sort of rational or meaningful order.
No. And he's just like, what you can't see is just sort of him looking off into the distance and looking down and like as he's trying to, you know, figure out what to say.
So I would love to see what reporter asked him whatever question led to that. But obviously, we don't have that.
The context doesn't even matter, though, does it? I mean, because whatever the question was, that wasn't any kind of a sensible answer that could possibly be made sense of here.
Oh, for God's sake. This virus is, in fact, it's going to be, excuse me, we know why all the drugs are temporarily approved, but permanently approved. I mean, listen to this again. The President of the United States at a town hall meeting, and someone doesn't say, get off the stage. You're embarrassing the free world and obscuring the coronavirus message. Listen to this.
We know that this virus is, in fact... it's going to be, or excuse me, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
Huh?
Do they still have his answer to this question coming up?
That's the end of that clip from the Australian TV. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. This guy isn't going to get better in the next 3 years. There's more on the way. You can share your thoughts with us. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. The number, if you want to join us here, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You know, it's an interesting strategy to be this out of it for Joe Biden, because he doesn't actually say anything that you can respond to. I mean, he has no real position, because everything that comes out of his face, or, I mean, it's not everything. Sometimes he's more lucid, but, you know, these gaffes are not hard to find. These town hall clips that we're playing aren't from a series of town halls. They're from the last one that he did with CNN. And it's certainly not the only clips that are out there. There's another one here that I've got for you here in a moment. But
Elton John has an organ. We don't have an organ, just the mouth and the brain that's connected to it. That's my organ. That's my instrument.
Wait a minute. Did he say that?
That was Donald Trump.
Oh.
Donald Trump says all kinds of idiotic stuff as well. And the Democrats love making fun of it. And the Republicans are like, oh, no, it's not that bad. But see, this is the beauty of being a libertarian. We can look at both of these babbling, incoherent lunatics and say, hey, that's a babbling, incoherent lunatic.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to share more of this babble here. He was asked about inflation. And you know, this is an issue we've been discussing for a long time on Free Talk Live, certainly not just during Biden's administration, but for the, you know, the decades that we've been doing this show now, almost 2 decades, not quite. We're almost
there. That clip we heard earlier, was that him being asked about inflation?
No, that's too bad. No, there's a separate clip from the same town hall where the host, I believe it's Don Lemon, according to Vincent, but let me get into that here in just a moment. The number again is 603-283-6160. I do want to also make sure you know about Bitcoin.com. So if you're ready to learn about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, go and click Get Started at the top of the page at Bitcoin.com. And that is where you can go and watch like a 3-minute long introductory video that'll lay it out for you. You know, this stuff isn't going away. It's likely going to become more prevalent in our lives. JP Morgan now apparently letting retail investors buy Bitcoin after years of saying that Bitcoin was the enemy and Bitcoin was evil. They've changed their tune. So even with some of these big bank people jumping on board, it seems less and less likely that Bitcoin's going to go away. So take your time, go to Bitcoin.com and learn the basics about crypto. And then if you're not new to crypto, you can go to news.bitcoin.com and get the latest news headlines there every single day. All right, so this posted, again, it's CNN, same town hall, posted by Tom S. Elliott on Twitter, the question about inflation. And it is muted. Stand by. Give me 1 second here.
I can that ad. Look, I seem pretty confident that inflation is temporary, but if you're pumping all of this money into the economy, couldn't that add to...
No, look, here's the deal.
Okay, here's the deal. We're going to get to it. But the question is a good question, right? He didn't even let him ask the full question, but the host of the show here, the town hall, is suggesting that pumping money into the economy is going to result in, he didn't get the chance to say it, but likely bad things happening, like rising prices, for instance, which is a common symptom of inflation, which, for those that don't know, inflation is an increase in the money supply.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like is how the guy phrased the question, because he made it like the increasing the money supply isn't inflation, it's the increase in prices that results from that, when that's backwards.
Well, of course. I mean, he's part of the mainstream media, and they don't actually... I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think they honestly don't know. I don't think they know what inflation is.
No, they describe fiat currency as flat currency. They have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, Joe Biden's going to get directly into the real deal, so.
Oh, yeah, here's the deal.
Moody's today, when our Wall Street firm, not some liberal think tank, said if we pass the other two things I'm trying to get done, we will, in fact, reduce inflation. Hmm. Reduce inflation. Reduce inflation.
Just because you say it 3 times doesn't make it true.
I think there's a word for that as well, like the opposite of inflate might be deflate.
What do you mean?
Well, if you're reducing inflation, you're causing deflation.
Mm.
But I wouldn't expect...
That's not what he's saying, though.
No,
so, so when they say reduce inflation, that's not the same as deflation. What that would mean would be to reduce the rate of inflation.
Oh, fair point.
And that is, you know, certainly what they want to promise people, because the government always has inflation going on. That's important. Sure. That's part and parcel of their whole economic system. But right now, people are reporting in the media and elsewhere that inflation, quote unquote, according to the government's own numbers, is over 5%. And normally they like it to be around 2%. So,
but in reality, it's closer to like 20%, isn't it?
Probably. I mean, it's hard to really say, because the government numbers don't include things like energy and real estate, for instance. The cost of food is also excluded from the government numbers.
Oh, so the stuff that people, you know, spend the most money on isn't included in their inflation calculations.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Let's go on.
Because you're going to be providing good opportunities and jobs for people who, in fact, are going to be reinvesting that money back in all the things we're talking about, driving down prices, not raising prices. And so I sincerely mean this. Prices are up now, and they're up. For example, you're in a position where you're trying to build a house. Try to find 2x4s and lumber. Well, guess what? People stop working cutting lumber. They stop doing it because
why'd they do that?
The government made them?
The coronavirus forced them to stop working.
Well, in some places that's true. Certainly like Sydney, Australia, for instance, where there's a total lockdown and you can't go out of your house.
No, it was the virus.
Meaning they got sick?
Yes. No, I'm joking. That's just what Joe Biden would say.
Well,
it's the pandemic. It's the invisible enemy.
The reality is it was the government's handouts that incentivized people to stop working. Because not only were in some places they told to stop working, but in other places they were incentivized by being given hundreds of dollars every single week through unemployment, where they're making as much money or close to it just sitting around the house.
As doing one of the most dangerous jobs like in the world, doing lumber.
Yeah, I can imagine someone doing lumber being able to make more money on unemployment. It seems like that's got to be a really high-paying job.
Well,
yeah.
Nowadays, I think it is because there's such demand for the lumber. The lumber prices have been going up, so they likely had to increase the cost or their employers are getting.
Because the unemployment was so down. Now, all of a sudden, there's this need because people are coming back. And guess what? Instead of paying 10 cents, you're paying 20. I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
It relates to what, in fact, is now needed because we're growing.
Huh? That was all about why inflation's going to be reduced because people are going back to work and they're going to reinvest and that's going to lower prices?
Well, instead of paying 10 cents, you're now paying 20 cents. So the price still increased.
Right. He acknowledged that prices were up twice. He mentioned the 10 cents to the 20 cents thing, and he said, yes, prices have gone up. And he sort of sounded like he wanted to say that prices were going to go back down. But he didn't actually say that. He just said that the inflation would be reduced. And again, that's talking about the rate of inflation. Prices are not going back down generally. There may be some areas where manufacturing does indeed, you know, the affordability of the manufacturing, the efficiency of it continues to increase. And so therefore, you might see some prices go down. But overall, I think you're likely to continue to see prices going up, especially if he said he wants Congress to pass two more of his plans, which means probably hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars more being spent that haven't yet been spent. And there's already been trillions spent this year.
And prices printed. Are already going up as a result.
Yeah, and printed. Trillions being printed. And that's not something they undo, ever. They don't just take money out of circulation. That's not their game. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up here. You can join us. This is Free Talk Live. They're going to ban cryptocurrencies. We'll talk about it on the way.
Brute force, intransigent defiance, adamantine will. These are the hallmarks of the AI tank. These gigantic machines have the firepower of an army, but they also have their own sense of honor and duty. When the world breakers arrive, battle will be joined, planets will shake, and war and peace will never be the same again. World Breakers. Stories from David Weber, Larry Correa, and more. Available August 3rd from BaneBooks.com.
It's Free Talk Live. The number, if you want to join us here, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Bonnie,
and Aria.
We're talking about the recent Biden town hall that CNN put on, which is, It's interesting because, by the way, I didn't watch the whole thing. I don't care.
No, but how long was it? Because we've heard like 3 minutes or so of Joe Biden rambling, and I have to imagine it's probably about an hour.
I heard it was like an hour and 20 minutes. That's what at least Vincent said from Shire Free Media.
So something like a 20th of Joe Biden's speaking time, or a total run time, was Joe Biden just rambling incoherently?
Yeah.
Saying,
yeah, totally incoherent, totally, you know, this guy shouldn't be on stage. And it makes for some very entertaining clips to play. But there's also another, you know, just sort of the, what's interesting about this to me is like CNN is all about Biden. You know, they were anti-Trump, pro-Biden. And you would think if they were actually trying to protect Biden, why would they put him on stage like this? They know he's going to have these gaffes. And
well, sometimes he doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's lucid and coherent and sensible, and he's able to actually make a sentence.
Right.
And then you get him like this when he isn't. Was this live, perhaps?
It must have been recorded live because they didn't edit it. I mean, they didn't cut these clips out. I don't know if it was broadcast live, but presumably it was. There's a photograph from the back of this theater that they were in, and it was apparently Hamilton County, which has Cincinnati, I guess, in it. So it was a county that won for Biden. Like, they voted for Biden in 2020.
So, I hope they're happy with the results of that.
Well, the reason I bring this up is the photograph from the back of the auditorium, it shows it maybe a third full. And it's not like it was a photo that they took early, you know, before Biden was on stage while people were still coming in. So, it, you know, wasn't like an honest photograph. Biden's on stage. So this was taken during the actual town hall. They couldn't even find enough people who were willing to come see their heroic president speak in Cincinnati.
Well, there could also be like COVID restrictions where they couldn't have that capacity.
Like 6 feet apart, yeah.
Maybe, but I'm not seeing people sitting 6 feet apart here in this photograph. So.
Well, I know that, like, I don't know anyone who was like in love with Biden. It was all either like, I don't know if I should vote this year because I don't like Biden and I don't like Trump, but right. I really want to get rid of Trump, like from liberal people I know. And my grandma, I put something about not wanting to vote on Instagram, and she's all like super, super liberal. She lives in California, and she messaged me saying like, Bonnie, I am really unhappy with the fact that our candidate, thinking I'm a Democrat, I guess, is Biden, but we have to do what we have to do to like get rid of Trump. Like, she messaged me that. Like,
so
I don't
she
know
was
anybody.
Holding her nose and she, voting for him.
Yeah, she like hates Trump. I mean, Biden, but she hates
blue,
Trump
no matter
more.
Who.
Yeah.
That's how you get a trans anarchist sheriff.
Well, and so, I mean, this isn't that different from Biden's campaign appearances, which were also dismal. I mean, there was hardly anyone attending this man's campaign appearances, so it hasn't gotten any better, apparently, because, again, there's maybe.
Well,
you know,
there's
like
nothing
10
there
rows
to be excited
full.
About.
Yeah.
There's nothing there for to interest the young people or to interest people in general.
Oh, I guarantee you there aren't many young people in this audience.
Yeah, it's just another old white dude and a long list of old white dudes who have been the president. And this one just happens to be a little funnier than most of them because he's senile.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like one thing that I always think about when I hear of him being this crazy and stuff is if he's a real old man and he's not just some kind of a robot. He should have like people that care about him that are like, my grandpa can't go on stage anymore. He needs to go to the hospital for a while.
He's going to be 79 come November 20th.
Oh my goodness.
Does that make him the oldest president ever elected?
I think
makes
it
him a Scorpio.
Does. I think it makes him the oldest president. I could be wrong about that, but I remember hearing that during the campaign that he would be, if elected, the oldest.
79 years old.
Actually, yeah, because Donald Trump was the oldest and he was like 76.
Yeah, I think he's like 75 or 4 or something like that. But yeah, or 76.
He was the oldest before Biden.
Well, Biden is definitely the most senile that we've had, at least in my lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't feel bad for Joe Biden. I mean, he's a longtime thug. He is a drug warrior. He is a war warrior. I mean, this guy hasn't seen a war he didn't like.
Sure.
I mean, to his credit, he is talking against Afghanistan and talking about withdrawing the troops. By the way, has that happened yet? Was that supposed to be by like August 1st or the end of August? I forget which one.
I have not seen that it had happened yet.
I think it was the end of August. So, I mean, to his credit, he did say the right things about Afghanistan and made it sound like he always disagreed with Barack Obama. But I suspect, but you know, by the end of his term, he's going to be embroiled in another war.
Yeah, I'm sure he's just taking troops out of Afghanistan to put them somewhere else.
Like maybe on our streets.
Yeah, maybe on our streets.
Crack down on so-called domestic terrorism. Oh, he's not going to mess with China.
Well, because China said that they would nuke Japan if Japan aided Taiwan, like, this week.
Well, plus China's just a massive opponent. I mean, look at what the U.S. government has done as far as its warmongering is concerned. They picked on Afghanistan. They don't
and
even
Iraq.
Yeah, and Iraq. And they crushed the Iraqi military, right, you know, instantly. I mean, these are not big states with a whole lot of money, and yet they were bogged down in Afghanistan for 20 years. So, I mean, you think they got a chance against China? No
way. I don't really think so, yeah. But they could,
A war against China would be an actual war.
Yeah,
these,
it would.
These things
It'd
going
be really
on in
scary.
Afghanistan and Iraq, they're just sparring matches for the American military to keep them trained and alert. So
and
they
to keep the money funneling to the military-industrial complex.
Well, yes. Okay, maybe not China, but somewhere.
To like justify the creation of new types of bombs and new ways to destroy one another.
It'll likely be somewhere in the Middle East. I mean, that seems to be where they like to pick on. That's where all the oil is, after all. So they're protecting their buddies in industry and the oil business. At the same time, they're funneling trillions of dollars into the hands of the military-industrial complex. So at least as far as they're concerned, everybody wins. Them and their buddies, that is.
The only people who don't win are the ones that get slaughtered.
And you know who else doesn't win? Prisoners. Like I said before, you know, Biden is once again showing his true colors as he's the same as Donald Trump. You know, these Democrats thought they were going to get something different. Oh, he's so much better. Okay, yeah, we don't like him, but at least he's not Trump. Well, it looks like he's Trump because he's backed up the Trump policies on Cuba. And now, according to the New York Times, and thanks to archive.today, which is where you can go to get around handy, it's a handy get around for these paywalls on sites like the New York Times. But according to archive.ph or archive.today, the Biden legal team has now decided that inmates must return to prison after the COVID home detention thing. Because did you hear about that? During COVID last year, federal prisons were actually letting prisoners out. They were saying, you know what? It's too dangerous to have you here in prison, so we're letting you go home.
I did not hear about that, but that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you would think.
Was it just California?
No, federal. So all over the place. Apparently it was about 4,000 nonviolent inmates were let go, but not without some conditions.
Sure,
not
I mean,
without...
home detention still sucks, but it's better than federal prison.
It must be. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and go out on that limb. You know, unless your home really sucks, you know, you're going back to like an abusive spouse or something like that, then it could be much worse.
I guess so.
But presuming your home is a decent place and somewhere you like to be, the New York Times, Charlie Savage and Zolan Cano Young's reporting that Biden's legal team has decided thousands of federal convicts who were sent back home to reduce the risk of spreading COVID will be required by law to return to prison a month after the official state of emergency for the pandemic ends, officials said on Monday. They've come under pressure from criminal justice reform advocates and some lawmakers to revoke the Trump-era memo by the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel, which said that inmates whose sentences last beyond the pandemic emergency period would have to go back to prison. So this
That's stupid. If they're doing just fine under home detention, then do that.
And if the... Wait, are they trying to say that the coronavirus thing is over? Then they need to open all the courts and everything?
Well, I don't know when the state of emergency is going to end, at least at the federal level. We know it's ended here in New Hampshire. That was back in June. But according to the story, the official state of emergency is not expected to end this year.
Jesus.
So who knows when that's ever going to happen.
But so the prisoners are going to stay out still until...
Until.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's assuming it ever ends.
But the Biden legal team has concluded the memo correctly interpreted the law. So they're backing the Trump memo. They're saying, yep, that's what's got to happen. We end the state of emergency and 4,000 nonviolent prisoners, well, offenders or whatever, they go back to prison. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live. The number, if you want to join us here, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, it's Ian.
Bonnie.
And Aria.
We're talking about the Joe Biden and similarities with Donald Trump. Turns out, so far, Joe Biden's legal team is backing up what the Trump administration has done. The Trump administration They put out a memo or whatever to the or by the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel that said that those inmates who have been released under home confinement restrictions, so they were in federal prison, thousands of inmates, 4,000 of them, were released during COVID because of COVID due to, you know, high risk or whatever. You can go home, but you got to stay at home, home confinement. The Trump administration said, you can stay home, but once this state of emergency is over, you're going back to prison. And of course, the people who believe that Joe Biden is somehow some kind of a reformer of the police state, when of course he's been an advocate for the police state. Sure. When he clearly said during his campaign that he is not in favor of defunding the police, he's in favor of giving them more money. You know, when Joe Biden continues to back up the Trump administration, these reform type folks, the people that want to see justice reform, they want this to be like a test case. Like, hey, Joe, if you're serious about making changes, well, here you go. This is an easy one. You can just let these people stay out.
I mean, they're already out.
Right.
It's amazing to me, first of all, that the United States has 4,000 plus federal prisoners who didn't do anything violent.
Oh, there's more than that.
Yeah, I feel like there's probably way more than that, and I felt like that was a low number. Yeah. They didn't let people... Like, why isn't Ross Ulbricht out? What did he do that was violent?
I'm pretty sure these are the ones that have, like, some kind of health issue, right?
Okay.
So there's... I don't know what the number is, but it's got to be in the hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands at least of nonviolent... I mean, the bulk of federal prisoners are likely nonviolent people, and from what I've understood. A lot of drug dealers, for instance.
Anybody that thinks he is anything remotely close to like somebody who wants to let everybody out of prisons, like, I don't think anybody really thinks that. But all they have to look at is the fact that it's been like how many months, like 7 months of him being president.
Yeah.
And there was a guy from Guantanamo who was cleared 4 years ago to be released, and he didn't get released till just now. I don't think it's really a win.
Yeah, you've been wanting to talk about that. Do you have a story about who that person was?
Yeah, we talked about him. Me, Captain, and Chris talked about him on the air like 2 weeks ago. There was a really long Vice article that we spent like half of the show on. His last name is Nasser, N-A-S-S-E-R, and mm-hmm. he's from Morocco. It's a 19-year Guantanamo Bay prisoner whom Trump kept detained for 4 years despite being cleared for release. He finally got released by the Biden administration, and he's at home with his family in Morocco. But
after
it took
19
7 months.
19 years in Guantanamo Bay. So he's been there basically the whole time. They opened up, you know, for the prisoners from Afghanistan, and this guy got put in, and now they've just been like, okay, you can go.
He's a 56-year-old, so what does that mean? He was like a 35-year-old when he went in.
What was the story with him? I mean, were there allegations about him that just didn't prove to be true? Were they just like, well, we can't prove anything, so here you go.
I watched The Ghosts of Abu Ghraib recently, and one thing that it really drove
home
to me...
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it was. One of the things that really drove home to me, I just started reading Gulag Archipelago, is that what the American soldiers did in Iraq is exactly what the Soviet Union did to its citizens during the Cold War and prior to the Cold War. It just grabbed random people off the streets. Oh, you spoke to this guy? This guy's your neighbor, and his second cousin once donated money to the Taliban or whatever?
Get in a cell.
Yeah. And they did the same thing to get people into Guantanamo Bay. So in all likelihood, the guy did nothing.
Mm-hmm. Wrong place, wrong time.
Yep.
Somebody snitched him out for doing nothing or whatever.
Yeah, or that they had a feud with their neighbor, and their neighbor was like, hey, this is a chance to get rid of that guy. It happened.
It says he was captured in 2001 by Pakistani agents and had been in Guantanamo since 2002. The U.S. accuses
him. They probably were paying the Pakistani agents, right? Okay, if you can get us some bad guys, we'll give you some money. Okay, well, here's this guy, you know?
Yeah, then it could have been guys they just didn't like.
They just found him walking alongside the road. Who knows what the circumstances were?
Says the U.S. accuses him of involvement with the Taliban, but like many Guantanamo detainees, he was never charged with a crime.
Right.
Well, if they charge him with a crime, they have to actually give them a trial.
That's right.
And whereupon they'll probably get released because there's no evidence against these people.
But because he's being held in Guantanamo, all of a sudden, all the, you know, jurisprudence, all the due process, none of that stuff applies, according to the argument of the federal government, which, of course, seems to have gotten away with for the most part for the last 20 years, because they certainly haven't shut the place down. They're basically saying, oh, well, they're not American citizens, and it's not America, so therefore, we don't have to apply this Constitution.
It's just Americans there torturing people.
Mm-hmm. It goes beyond the Constitution.
All of whom sworn to uphold the Constitution, but who cares?
I mean, the Bush administration actually put forward arguments of why the Geneva Convention didn't apply. Why the
to Guantanamo?
Yes, mm-hmm. and to Abu Ghraib and any of the other, you know, Muslim countries they've invaded, arguing that, you know, they're not protected by these anti-torture
laws. Because they're not prisoners
laws.
Of war, right?
Right.
Because mm-hmm. it's not a war. We didn't declare it, so it's not a war.
Yeah, they're not part of any recognized enemy army, so. Mm.
Yep, I remember that.
It seems like the thing they're accusing him of isn't even really that bad. Definitely not 19 years in a prison camp.
What was he accused of? Just being part of the Taliban?
U.S. officials allege that he met Osama bin Laden in 1995 and trained in Al-Qaeda training camps. That's what it says.
Well, Donald Rumsfeld met with Osama bin Laden, too, in, like, what, 1980 or something like that? I mean, the CIA had him on their payroll, so the federal government met with him probably hundreds of times.
So, in 1985, you said?
1995.
Okay, yeah. So 6 years before 9/11. So this guy met with Osama bin Laden, who at the time mm-hmm. had not committed 9/11. And right. Osama bin Laden, doing a service to his community, said, hey, come join me and I will train you to defend yourselves.
Yeah.
And 8 years later, this guy gets arrested. Or 6 years later, whatever.
And then held for 19 years.
Yes, because he went to train with someone who was doing him a solid. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll show you how to use this firearm to take care of yourself and your family.
Well, it says, he said in 2016 that he deeply regrets his actions of the past, though he did not elaborate on what they were, but that's what he has to do. Oh, yeah. I'm really, really sorry. Please let me out. Yeah. Nasser was recommended for release out of Guantanamo in 2016, the Times reported, so long as he stayed under security in Morocco. So maybe he is having to do that. But the Trump administration halted all releases and Nasser stayed. Trump signed an executive order in 2018 to keep Guantanamo open. President Barack Obama's special envoy for arranging transfers from Guantanamo in 2015 and 2016 said his office arranged to repatriate two men, including Nasser. So Obama even, like, pretended he was going to get him out, this poor guy.
Can you imagine?
Obama pretended that he was going to shut down Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, he did. That's what got him elected. Part yes. of what got him elected.
It was a huge part of it. Yeah. And then he never did it.
Didn't happen.
It says Obama then turned to a process of transferring detainees out of the facility, which was never completed.
Didn't they add a geriatric ward to Guantanamo Bay recently?
Just because they've been so long that yeah. people have been there?
I seem to recall us talking about that at some point.
It's horrifying.
Like, oh, we got to keep this 68-year-old geriatrics patient locked down and waterboarded.
So can you imagine, though? I mean, we thought the federal government was slow when it came to, you know, releasing me from behind bars. You know, it wasn't fast, but this guy waits 4 years after they told him, okay, you can go.
Well, this guy certainly got caught in the crosshairs of American politics, yeah. Donald Trump. We're not releasing any of these people from Gitmo.
Political prisoner.
Yep. And then Biden comes along, and 7 months later, he mm-hmm. finally gets around to releasing this guy who should have been released 4.5 years ago.
Yeah, there was I saw the story actually about this on The Onion. You know, sometimes they have that The Onion feature where it shows the faces of the people and it's got a little quote next to them and then some ridiculous job that they have. And it's always the same faces. So it's never, you know, it's just a joke.
Sure.
But one of them was, it was about this, the release. And the person said, all right, at this rate, we should be able to shut the thing down after Biden's 20th term. You know, I mean, yeah. One guy, how many people are left there?
I How think many the last are... I heard it was somewhere in the low 100, like 117, something along those lines.
And not a single trial, right? Has that ever happened?
I think some trials have come out of Guantanamo, but I think the vast majority of them were military tribunals, and trials are actually rare.
Yeah, I mean, a military tribunal, I mean, you're just
There's
guaranteed
no oversight.
It's kangaroo court, right?
Yeah. I think the creepy thing that people should be thinking about Guantanamo Bay is that George Bush got to open it just because there was 9/11, and it just is a thing that has no laws.
Yep.
Like, the government could do that for any perceived emergency that they want.
And meanwhile, they want to boycott Cuba, the company that they're renting, the country that they're renting this land from to have this illegal prison. They want you to not be able to help the people of that country.
Are they renting the land, or is it just like...
I think it was some kind of 99-year lease or something like that.
I wonder what that is. That's a weird situation.
It is. These two governments hate each other,
yeah,
but they're working together to keep this illegal prison operational.
603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You want to join us, whether it's comment on Guantanamo Bay, the gaffes of Biden, whatever. It's Free Talk Live.
When Monster Hunter International discovers one of Isaac Newton's wardstones being auctioned off, they decide to steal it and use it to destroy the Chaos God once and for all. But a mysterious thief upends their plan, and it soon becomes a race against time as something much older and infinitely more evil awakens in the jungles of South America. Monster Hunter Bloodlines by New York Times bestselling author Larry Correa and Bain Books. Visit MonsterHunterNation.com for more.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. If you want to join us, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, kicking off the second hour, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Coming up, bye-bye Bitcoin. It's time to ban cryptocurrencies, at least according to an opinion contributor over at thehill.com. We'll share that with you because that's definite red meat here for Free Talk Live. We got to talk about a story with that title.
It is, and I can't wait to hear how this author imagines the governments of the world coming together to somehow ban cryptocurrency.
But you had a story, since we were talking briefly about COVID and Joe Biden and restrictions, you had a story about a guy who's a pastor at a church, I guess, in Tennessee, who's going a bit of a different direction.
I do. A Tennessee pastor threatened to boot mask wearers from his Tennessee church as some places are taking additional measures to help protect against the more contagious coronavirus Delta variant. Mm. If they go through round two and you start showing up with all these masks and all this nonsense, I will ask you to leave.
Wow.
Pastor Greg Locke told his Nashville area congregation during a service on Sunday. I will ask you to leave. I am not playing these Democrat games up in this church. Locke's comments at Global Vision Bible Church come as some U.S. communities reconsider face mask recommendations during the continued spread of the Delta variant. I haven't seen any of this.
An actual person come down with it, you mean?
Yeah. From what I can tell, the numbers aren't going up. I mean, I know they're reporting that they are, mm-hmm. but have you seen it, listeners?
No.
Because I sure haven't.
I don't know anyone who's had it recently.
I had a runny nose today.
Okay.
But it's also like really smoky out.
It is.
Here
it's
in,
very.
In Keene.
Oh, yeah, it's coming from Canada and the West.
So they claims the local newspaper, at least. Yeah. So wildfires.
Or fires. Did I say wildflowers? Yeah.
I noticed that today when I was driving home from somewhere. I was like, it's like hazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Locke, in his sermon, criticized officials for eyeing potential restrictions. I ain't playing these stupid games, Locke said. Oh, God, I miss the South sometimes. I ain't playing these stupid games, Locke said in a video posted to Facebook on Sunday. A bunch of pastors talking about how much they want to see people heal and they're afraid to baptize people because of a Delta variant. I'm sick of it. You would think that they would just be like, baptizing people in the name of our deity is more important than the Delta variant, but evidently that's not the position that religious figures are taking.
Well, a lot of religious figures worship the state.
True.
You know, they believe that the state is actually part of God or, you know, somehow more powerful than God, or I don't know what they actually would say, but that's the way they act. And
it's weird to watch the interplay among them, right? Because they do serve two masters, and they don't seem to have any awareness of that reality.
Yep, my mom always says, like, the Bible says that you're supposed to follow the laws of the land.
Oh, yeah, they all have their excuses for it, too. It's like, oh, well, render under Caesar, Jesus said follow the law, or whatever, wherever, you know, what Bible passage it is that they use to justify that. And
there's always plenty that say the opposite as well.
Right. Then there's the Christian anarchists that are like, well, no, Jesus was against the government. That's why they killed him.
Right.
My mom also thinks that people who don't like follow laws and stuff have a spirit of rebellion.
Maybe
like
true.
A demon in them that makes them want to rebel.
Maybe that's the origin of all of this government as God thing. Because, I mean, if you think about the Christian mythos, government killed God. So the Christian
and replaced it.
And they need something to worship. So if they believe in God and they worship God, then you sort of have to also worship the thing that killed God.
Sure.
Right? Locke, during his sermon, also vowed to keep his church open in Mount Juliet, east of Nashville. They will be serving Frosties in hell before we shut this place down, he said. Locke made similar comments earlier in the pandemic when he said in July 2020 that he was willing to go to jail before closing his church. At that time, a video showed maskless people listening to an in-person sermon as Tennessee health officials recommended faith groups hold their services remotely. We are staying open. You ain't got to wear a mask. We're not social distancing, Locke said. About 2 months later, hundreds of people reportedly defied mask mandates in Washington state when they gathered to hear Locke speak. Now, the article goes on a bit, but I want to call special attention to the fact that they don't point out that any of these 200 people contracted COVID-19. Because if any of them
had, they did, they sure would have.
They
right?
would have mentioned it. So clearly, none of them had reported cases.
The news loves, I've seen over the last couple days headlines about how, oh, so-and-so made fun of people with masks on or said he wouldn't wear a mask and now he's dead. There's all these headlines about that. Anytime somebody who was anti-mask or somebody who was a COVID skeptic dies, the media just blasts it out there.
Sure. And I got to say, I if COVID-19 kills me tomorrow, I won't have any regrets about how I responded to any of it.
No, me neither.
Me either. We had a super spreader event here, and I haven't heard of anybody getting sick.
You mean over the weekend? That one?
Is that what it was? I never know what day it is anymore.
There was Pork Fest and Fork Fest.
No, Ian
Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had quarantine back in January.
Yeah, and we've been hanging out every Friday night prior to that, and none of us got sick until certain events in March.
Right. Until the feds came here with dozens of people pawing on all our equipment. I think that was a factor.
During the coronavirus pandemic, the CDC has urged people to wear face coverings inside public buildings if they haven't gotten a COVID-19 vaccine. Health officials are also encouraging people to get vaccinated against the disease to help stop them from getting seriously sick. So now it's not even about keeping you from getting COVID-19. It's about keeping you from getting seriously sick.
Right. Well, that's actually what they were saying earlier on was that, the vaccine will just, it's not going to stop you from getting sick. It'll just stop you from having to go to the hospital.
Well, I didn't have to go to the hospital when I had it.
Most people don't.
So what is the value of this vaccine? Because every day on the Drudge Report, it's just the unvaccinated are making angry the vaccinated. The vaccinated are just seriously upset because the unvaccinated aren't doing their part. They're a threat to their communities or whatever. But their communities are the other unvaccinated, people who willingly made this choice not to get the vaccine. If your vaccine isn't protecting you, then why should I get it? Your vaccine should vaccinate you against this disease. Me not getting the vaccine shouldn't cause you any threat whatsoever.
Yeah, there's supposed to be about 50% of people who got the vaccine in the United States. It's even more in New Hampshire. And then sadly, you've got a factor in all the people who didn't get the vaccine because they've had COVID before, so they should have some type of immunity.
A better immunity.
That's
actually
what all of the research suggests now, yes. Not just better, but longer lasting.
Yeah.
But if, that probably makes like at least 70% or more of us have some type of immunity, supposedly, if the vaccines give you an immunity.
Well, remember,
so it couldn't be the unvaccinated people's fault.
Most people who come down with COVID are completely asymptomatic.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even worth, they just brush it off. It's no big deal. So, how could you tell the difference between that and a vaccinated person not coming down with it? Like, you're most likely to not have any issues with this thing. So whether you have the vaccine or not, it's like, what is this thing that they're giving to people?
If it hadn't been for the loss of sense or of smell and taste, I would have never known I had it. I was just like, I'm very tired and sore, but that's usual because I worked a lot of hours at that time. So sure. But that was the only real symptom I had that made me realize I had COVID-19.
So I've got a sort of a reverse story that I've actually had in my show prep for a while, but I've wanted to talk about this guy, Pastor Tim Stevens. This guy's out of Canada.
Oh.
Where, of course, as you know, they're not very nice when it comes to people who are refusing vaccinations and or refusing to be masked. And this story is actually from back in June. The pastor of Fairview Baptist Church was arrested for failing to comply with a court order to stop holding church services in violation of Alberta's pandemic gathering rules. Tim Stevens was arrested for allegedly violating Section 127 of the Criminal Code by failing to obey a Court of the Queen's Bench order obtained by Alberta Health Services. He was served a copy of the order last weekend. So, of course, if a judge says you got to do a thing and you don't do it, then they come after you with criminal charges. It's called criminal contempt here in the United States. Quote, he was arrested for hosting an illegal outdoor gathering that did not comply with current restrictions, said the police in an email to CBC News, correcting an earlier release where they said that he'd conducted a sermon inside the church. So he even was outside doing an outdoor sermon, and they arrested him.
Sounds about right. Well, I mean, he disobeyed.
That's it.
He didn't comply.
Yep. That is the ultimate heresy in the Church of the State.
Sure is. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Take control of the airwaves and bring up what you want. Is it bye-bye Bitcoin? Are they going to ban cryptocurrencies? That's on the way. This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian,
Bonnie,
and Aria.
We were telling you about a Canadian pastor who was arrested for holding an outdoor sermon, and apparently hunted by a helicopter at the time, according to a story. Jesus didn't help him out of this predicament, although he did get out a little earlier from prison than he initially had expected. I will tell you a little bit more about the update on the case here, but Freedom's Phoenix is a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. If you want the newest and freshest stories and perspectives on current events from those who value liberty, then freedomsphoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. It's freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. That's freedomsphoenix.com. According to World News Group at WNG.org, Stevens was released after 2.5 weeks behind bars. According to this story, he had refused to sign a bail agreement, which required him to follow the health orders in place at the time. So when they first arrested him for this, they're like, all right, well, here you go. You know, you don't want to be in jail. Jail's a scary place, Pastor. Why don't you sign this bail agreement that says you'll do everything that we tell you to do as far as how you have to worship? And he said, nope, not going to sign that.
Good for him.
So they held him in there, and then on July 1st, which is apparently Canada Day, Alberta moved to the final stage of its reopening plan and then rescinded nearly all of the pandemic restrictions. Stevens then signed an agreement that he would observe the new health orders because none of the new orders would limit his church activity. So it's like, okay, fine. And then apparently they then let him out. According to...
But he still spent 2.5 weeks in jail. For holding a church service.
For ministering.
Outside.
Yeah. The story from CBN.com, which is a Christian news network, they say here that he was jailed after a police helicopter discovered where he was holding his church's outdoor worship services, is speaking out about how his incarceration allowed him to minister to the inmates. So, like a lot of people, like our own nobody right now, who is, the Pope of the Church of the Invisible Hand, he's using his time behind bars. He's now been there for 4 months, by the way. You can write to him. Go to thecrypto6.com. You can get the jail address there. We're hoping he's going to get out soon after a fairly positive court hearing.
It was positive.
Last Friday, surprisingly positive. I thought he was done for because this judge had sort of tipped his hand earlier and said that he intended to keep nobody behind bars, but he was going to go ahead and have the hearing anyway just because he had to. And then he actually listened to the attorneys in the case, in this case nobody's attorneys, and he seemed to really genuinely give it some consideration what their arguments were. And so, I mean, it's not over yet. He hasn't made the order yet. He's waiting for the attorneys to file arguments in written
form. And
they
are required to do so before this coming Friday, before the end of the day this coming Friday.
Okay.
And prosecutors being what they are, they're probably going to deliver it Friday at 4:59.
Yeah, of course. And then we'll wait for the judge to review them, and then he'll likely issue an order the following week. So that's what's going on there. But again, you can write to nobody. But that's what nobody's doing. He's ministering to the guys that are behind bars. And that's what Tim Stevens found himself doing as well. He said that he was arrested when law enforcement officers showed up at his home as his onlooking children cried. According to the story here, he said, due to the COVID-19 restrictions, the cell in the remand center, I guess what they call jail, there in Alberta province, is very bare-boned, and prisoners are in their cells for 23 and one-half hours a day. So that's even more restrictive. I was in for 23 hours a day. I got an hour out. Apparently,
and you were in solitary, right?
Correct, and so was he. He says, you don't know when you're going to get out of your cell for that little bit of free time when you can make a phone call, when you can have a shower. It's very rudimentary. It's very difficult to try to get comfortable because you don't have a lot of necessities. You don't even have a pillow. You only have a few blankets and a very thin, hard mattress. And yeah, I mean, that's jail.
Yeah.
And it sucks. He says it's a very dehumanizing experience. Basically, you're put into a small cage and you're left there not really knowing what the next coming hours or days or weeks may even bring. He says when they understood why I was there, they didn't think it was right for me to be there. Speaking of the other inmates, they would call me pastor and open up about their own problems and want counsel and advice. Even inmates who are hardened atheists came to appreciate where I was coming from, and we developed a good friendship among those other inmates there in the jail. So even though you're in a 23 and a half hour lockdown situation, you still do have the ability to at least connect somewhat with some of the other prisoners. Because they're walking by your cell and they might stop and try to speak to you or whatever. Sure. So there are still some connections that you can make with people. So
now, does it say, was putting everyone in solitary just standard procedure for this jail, or did he do something that irritated the guards that landed him in solitary?
Well, if it's anything like what the policies are here, at least at the jail that I was at for two-ish months, the policy was if you were moved anywhere as far as like outside of the jail. So if you went to a court hearing and are brought right back to the jail, you would be in quarantine for 2 weeks.
Every single time?
Every time. So, of course, most of the court things are online, so it wasn't affecting a lot of people, because if they're online, they're still in the jail, so they haven't left the jail. But if you had to go to court, then you'd be back in quarantine for 2 weeks.
And maybe he wouldn't wear a mask.
That's a possibility, but he was only there for like two-ish weeks anyway, and as soon as you're booked into the jail, that's when your 2 weeks begins, because everybody who's booked in is gone into a 14-day quarantine. So that's just the policy
at the jails. That's an insane policy.
Well,
two weeks of isolation is inhumane.
But COVID.
It's torture.
But someone might get the cold.
Convention.
They might get the sniffles.
Don't torture someone over the cold.
That's what they're doing.
That's illegal. It's a violation of human rights.
Well, it's legal now. It's legal now. You know, that's the way it is.
It's not legal. They're just doing it.
Well, it's only illegal if it gets found illegal in some sort of court case. And given how obedient these prisoners are, I don't think you're going to see anybody challenge it. I mean, I'd love to be wrong about that, but it's just not the case.
That's sad.
So anyway, there's your update. He is now back out. And the Alberta province doesn't have the worst restrictions that they had, so now he can have his services. Oh, yeah, because it's going to get cold again.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I mean, it's not just that. They're telegraphing pretty hard that the lockdowns are coming back soon.
Now, what makes you say that?
Just the constant media fear-mongering about it. It's like, they're considering bringing back the mask mandates here. They're considering relocking down here. That's what they did initially. That's what they did, you know, a year and a half ago. They're like, are we going to have to lock down here? And then a few months later, everyone locked down.
And they're also locked completely down in Australia where it's winter.
Where it is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they're telegraphing it just like they did the whole, if you want to be free, if you want to take your mask off, you have to get the vaccine thing. They telegraphed that they were going to offer out these little perks for people to get the vaccine. And that's exactly what they did just a month or so later. So they're throwing out all of the information now. Anyone who's paying attention can see it coming. Yes, the lockdowns are coming. The mask mandates are coming
and
all over again.
Vaccine passes as well.
Yes.
Which is, they're rolling them out over in the EU. So far, the United States hasn't seen them yet. But according to the news, again, telegraphing here, headline, New York City eyes French health pass vaccination policy. So they're openly talking about adopting that here in the United States, starting in, of course, the Empire State. More coming up.
When a lunar observatory detects a radio broadcast originating from Proxima Centauri, the nations of Earth discover their first contact with an alien race may also be their last. With the Proximans facing an extinction-level disaster, Earth must choose between sending a ship on a multi-year journey or allowing nature to take its course. Saving Proxima, a hard science fiction thriller by Travis S. Taylor and Les Johnson. From BaneBooks.com.
Yep, it's Free Talk Live. The phones are open here if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Bonnie, and Aria in the studio. And, of course, you can join us again. You can go online over at freetalklive.com. You can follow us on our social media platform. And post to that platform. It's called social.freetalklive.com. And unlike the big tech platforms like Facebook and Twitter, you got a lot more freedom to express yourself on social.freetalklive.com. So head on over there.
And we're not fans of kicking people off.
No, you don't have to be a libertarian to post over there. But so far, that's been pretty much who's been signing up. But check it out at social.freetalklive.com. As we get into changing things up, because there's, of course, as always, a ton of COVID-related news out there, but there's also some really interesting crypto-related news. I always love it when people don't know anything at all about Bitcoin and act like they can do something about it. In this case, Robert Manning, the opinion contributor at TheHill.com. Now, what is TheHill.com? It's a fairly newsworthy website that, is based, I presume, out of Washington, D.C. They report on politics and political matters. And
aren't they leftist?
Sort of thing. I don't know. They're certainly statist, whoever they are. But this guy, he's got a headline, "Bye-bye Bitcoin, it's time to ban cryptocurrencies." Here's what he has to say. And, of course, great first opening sentence. "I've never quite understood why cryptocurrencies are worth anything."
That's apparent, dude.
Yeah.
From the headline.
Of course, the untraceable payments, that's not true, are worth a lot to ransomware hackers, cyber criminals, and money launderers. But
also not true. They prefer privacy coins.
Well, he says the untraceable payments are worth a lot to ransomware hackers. Privacy coins would be untraceable.
Is not a privacy coin, and it's not untraceable.
Correct. Now, he is saying that cryptocurrency should be banned, not just Bitcoin.
Okay, yeah. Fair point.
But he's suggesting here that untraceable payments apply to all cryptocurrency, and that's not true. It's the supermajority of cryptocurrencies are completely traceable. They're fully public blockchains. Anybody can look and see. If you know an address of a cryptocurrency wallet, you can look at that wallet, see what its current balance is, see to where it has sent crypto, like Bitcoins, and from whom it has received the Bitcoins. And that's 99% or 98.9% or whatever. There's only a handful of cryptocurrencies that are actual privacy coins that don't have this.
I imagine it's probably something like 99.999%.
Probably true.
Are using, public ledgers.
But dollars, euros, and yen are backed by nations' respective treasuries. Huh? No, not even close. They're not backed by anything.
Everyone just respects the U.S. Treasury so much.
They're not going to give you anything. I mean, our friends Mr. Bitcoin and Bitcoin Gandhi were down at the Federal Reserve building today. And let me tell you, you can walk in there with a stack of cash and ask for the backing, and they're going to look at you cross-eyed. They'll be like, "What are you talking about? Get out of here, you lunatic. We're calling security."
Yeah, because there's nothing backing it but the faith and trust in the government that produced it. It's not backed by the Treasury because the Treasury doesn't have anything to use to back it.
Right, and when people say it's backed by the faith and trust, what the hell does that even mean? That's nothing.
It's backed by hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
It's nothing.
What gets me is that so many people today insist and still believe that the U.S. dollar is backed by gold.
Do they really?
I know many people, especially outside of libertarian circles, who firmly believe that, it's backed by gold.
I mean, they did actually have silver certificates at one time.
Once upon a time.
which were before the Federal Reserve notes, they looked kind of similar. You can find pictures of them online. If you're really lucky and you work at like a retail establishment and enough dollars pass through your hands, you might just get one of these things. Like if somebody accidentally has one and they don't realize that they have a collector's item from the 1930s or whatever and they spend it.
I've never, ever seen one of those, but I did get a Canadian penny the other day for a penny.
Yeah, also not worth anything, I suspect.
One of my favorite things about my old job was, in fact, looking for coins produced before 1964.
Why?
Because they actually had silver in them.
That's right.
They were actually made out of silver. Never found any.
90%, I believe, silver.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know what purity rate, but it's actual silver, right?
That's right. It is.
And they look different. They
sound different, too. Like if you flip the coin, like, you know, up in the air over and over and over, it sounds, you can hear it. It sounds like more... Real.
I never did that, but you know, there's the look of them is so different than if you see one, you immediately know that's what it is.
Yep. If someone invents a cryptocurrency, he says, any value is based solely on convincing others it has value.
Yes.
Well, yes, but there's a reason why you can convince others. And this goes back to him in his first sentence where he says, I've never quite understood why cryptocurrencies are worth anything. And the reason why you can convince people these things have value is because they're mathematically sound.
They do stuff.
They do the thing that they promised that they will do, which is to say transferring value from one person to another person and cutting out the intermediaries, meaning cutting out the banks and cutting out the governments.
And some of them even do more than that.
That's true. Blockchain can do a whole lot more than just money. But they do what they say they're going to do. And
There's value in that.
Yeah, and anytime you can take a business, you know, deal and cut the middleman out, I mean, that's what everybody in business wants to do, right? Like, if there's a middleman between you and the wholesaler, you want to get rid of that, you know, or the manufacturer, you want to get rid of that middleman. If you can get rid of the middleman, he might have been the nicest middleman you've ever dealt with.
But he was still getting a cut.
But he's still just moving a thing between his hands and passing it on to you. He doesn't need to be there. The banks don't need to be there either.
Nope, and they're just the middlemen.
The governments don't need to be there either. These are the people who forever have created and passed off money as though it's valuable when, of course, it's just backed by faith in the governments. And now they're gone.
I would argue that cryptocurrencies, in fact, have more... There's more value inherent in cryptocurrencies than there is in, you know, government dollars.
Oh, absolutely.
Simply because, you know, cryptocurrency, it's something that someone opts to use as their currency. Where
sure, it's a choice.
The fiat currency is, this is what the government says is your money, whether you like it or not.
Oh, you definitely can't sell your oil for anything else.
Not yet. That's true. The U.S. Government has a very strong position for its fiat currency all around the world, but that may start to change. Over time.
Oh, no. Biden promised us inflation is going to get better.
So he says... He also said
something about the man in the moon, but he also said
aliens.
Inflation is going to get better.
But is it a usable means of exchange? Well, actually, yes, it is. Here in Keene, New Hampshire, prior to my arrest in March, I used it all the time.
As did I. I miss it, man.
Yeah, and from what I understand, it can still be used here in Keene, New Hampshire because, well, the crypto marketplace here is much larger than Ian and Aria. So even though we're out of it because, well, we're under ridiculous restrictive court orders to stop using cryptocurrencies, so therefore I can't even go to my favorite restaurants anymore, you know, even if I could leave the house. But, you know, there's still people out there who do. There's still people...
That's good.
Regularly going to these places that accept cryptocurrency at the point of sale, and they're buying things with it. And the people who are running these restaurants and the dentist and the car repair place and these other places that take cryptocurrency are still holding on to it. And some of them are cashing it out on occasion, but for the most part, most of them are holding it because you know what? They think it might be worth more someday.
Well, it for sure is. The car repair place here, like a year ago, I had to get some work done on one of my cars, and it cost like $800 in total or something like that. So I just set some BTC, and that amount of BTC right now is worth significantly more than $800. It'd be closer to $3,000 or something like that.
I expect that the guy that owns that car repair shop is probably doing better than almost everyone else, except for maybe Corner News. Like as far as just because
his transactions tend to be large.
His transactions are large, but he has had to, you know, cash some out to like buy parts or whatever. But just overall, I think he's held on to a lot of that stuff. And I suspect he's very happy.
That's good
with that. But yes, it is a usable means of exchange. Although, to be fair, a lot of people within the Bitcoin universe don't even know. I mean, they've never spent Bitcoin.
They wouldn't know how to if they needed to.
They just think it's this thing that goes up in price over time. And it does tend to do that, but it's so much more useful than just hold it and see if it goes up in value. But nonetheless, this guy is going to get into why he thinks it should be banned on the way. Because not only does he not understand it, he wants to stop the things he doesn't understand. It's Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. The number, if you want to join in here, you can bring up anything you want. 603-283-6160. Maybe you agree with this guy at thehill.com who says that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies should be banned. Can they even be banned?
That would be an amazing feat.
Well,
I mean, if this person wants them to be banned, I suspect in order for them to accurately convey that idea to people, they should have some methodology by which they believe cryptocurrencies could be banned.
Well, let's get into it here. And by the way, with you tonight, it's Ian,
Bonnie,
and Aria.
And don't forget, you can join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com. We've got the AMP program, which allows listeners like you to become supporters of the show, become amplifiers, which stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And you can do it for $5 a month, like Meast 101, who is a Free Talk Live silver amplifier. Meast 101 contributing that $5 a month. You can do it either via PayPal, debit card, or credit card right there through amp.freetalklive.com and get some cool perks. That's ampamp.freetalklive.com. So Robert Manning, the opinion contributor over at thehill.com, doesn't understand why cryptocurrencies are worth anything. That's the first sentence in his article here, where he's going to advocate for the banning of these cryptos, which, by the way, right now, according to CoinMarketCap.com, has a global market cap, which is the total value in denominated in dollars of all of the world's cryptocurrencies, or at least 11,064 of them, is now $1.4 and change trillion dollars.
Wow.
In value.
That's amazing.
It's tremendous.
And this person wants to basically ban $1.4 trillion in value.
Well, he doesn't understand how the governments will do it, but he wants them to.
Yeah, and you know, when we were going out, you characterized this in the best, most accurate way possible. I don't understand this thing. The government should ban it.
Well, plus, I don't understand this thing, and scary things can happen. People could get hurt.
But that's not even the case. And both the Department of Justice and I believe the FBI have admitted that the vast majority of cryptocurrency transactions are totally white market.
Well, he says there's an epidemic of hugely disruptive ransomware attacks in the recent months on JBS Foods, a major meat processor, Colonial Pipelines, our critical infrastructure.
This is not a problem government can fix. This is a problem IT companies can fix.
By actually having backups of their companies.
It's a
computers.
100% foolproof way of defeating ransomware. Have offline backups daily.
Causing gasoline shortages for weeks and on 1,000 or more U.S. businesses on July 4th highlights the enormous risks. Moreover, hundreds of small towns, hospitals, school districts, and small businesses have been hit by the ransomware epidemic, all enabled by cryptocurrencies.
No, ransomware I'm pretty sure existed before cryptocurrency.
I bet you it wasn't as large.
But it existed.
Because then they would have to have like a bank account or something and, you know, international bank account in North Korea or somewhere where they could.
Well, how did they do like the Egyptian prince scam before cryptocurrencies? I mean,
international bank accounts would make it harder to recall a wire transfer from what I understand, but it's not impossible.
Well, there's also prepaid debit cards and all this sort of nonsense.
That's true.
Target gift cards.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they definitely could have done these things, but it was, I mean, I'll give the point to him. Cryptocurrencies have made ransomware a much easier process.
Yes.
It can be fully automated. You know, you pay the ransom to the respected address that they give you when the ransomware hits your computer. They can verify that the funds are there. Of course, most cryptocurrencies are irreversible, so there's no chance that the victim is going to be able to, you know, reverse those funds. So it definitely, you know, I'll give that to them. But
Sure, but it's still an easy-to-solve problem.
Yes, correct. And it should not mean that those, as you pointed out, 99.9% of legitimate transactions out there need to go away or become criminal. Because it's already criminal to hack somebody's computer.
Yes. Right?
Like, that's already a criminal act. How should governments respond, he says? Besieged with cyber attacks, the Biden administration has been struggling with this question of cybersecurity with few clear answers.
Well, if they can't get their own cybersecurity under control, then they have no business trying to regulate or stop or ban cryptocurrency.
Cyber offense still seems to beat cyber defense. As the eminent economic analyst Martin Wolf outlined in a recent Financial Times essay, the risks and chaos of a wild world of unstable private money is a libertarian fantasy. According to a recent Federal Reserve paper, there are already some 8,000 cryptocurrencies. It's a new mom-and-pop cottage industry. How should governments respond? Wolf argues that central banks, like the Federal Reserve, should create their own official digital currencies called central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, and make cryptocurrencies illegal.
Look, these CBDCs, they would certainly be popular among the masses, but if you have this new technology developing, and there's already 8,000 different versions of this technology out there, you are so far beyond the point of being able to ban it that you're wasting your time to even attempt it.
Why would anybody think, oh, there's too much competition, there's 11,000.
Well, there's now more than 11,000.
There's 11,000 different things, and he just described the fact that they're, well, you were actually describing the fact that they're very good at what they do. You were describing, oh, well, they made ransomware easier. That mm-hmm. also means that they made, buying something in another country easier, sending money to your family in another country easier. So he thinks that they should just get rid of all of that and have the governments make one. Why would anybody think that's the answer? It doesn't make any sense.
Because he trusts the government.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know who this guy works for.
The government.
I suspect it's the banks or the government. Look, here's his bio. He is a senior fellow at the Brent Salkroff Center for Strategy and Security at the Atlantic Council. He was a senior counselor to the Undersecretary of State for Global Affairs from 2001 to 2004, a member of the U.S. Department of State Policy Planning Staff from 2004 to 2008, and on the National Intelligence Council Strategic Futures Group from 2008 to 2012. So basically, he's been working for government for his entire, professional career.
I will excuse the prior to 2010 ignorance of Bitcoin, but if you're working in the government in, I can't even begin to rattle off what you said his most recent stunt in government was. It's something about global intelligence. I don't remember, but he should have known about Bitcoin. This person has all of the right qualifications to have known about Bitcoin earlier than anyone else and to be an expert on the subject. And yet, he's completely ignorant.
Go ahead.
Well, it said his current role had the word security in it, so he doesn't know that companies should just back up their.
It's such a simple solution.
It
to
is,
solve
man. And there's
ransomware.
Software called, we used Mosey Pro, and it will do it automatically. You can set it to anytime it detects a file change, it will automatically
right
update
then.
That.
Yep.
And it's just continuous. And if they get hacked, you don't even have to go there. All you have, you can do it all from,
just download the program,
on the website.
Put your password in, and restore.
Yeah, and
just
how old
like,
is
restore these.
How old is that technology you're talking about?
5, 6, 7 years?
Even older. Well, I mean, we've had backups here for longer than a decade, I think.
Okay. These allow you to manage entire corporate networks with thousands of computers and restore all of them at once.
That's amazing.
With a single click. And companies are like, oh, God.
What do we do?
We got hit with ransomware. How do we unhack it? And that's always the first question these companies have. Can we decrypt it? Can we just find some tool on the internet that will decrypt it? Like, dude, no.
That's not how encryption works. I've been asking the same question, he says. Who needs cryptocurrencies? Apart from the nasty uses and wild speculative value swings.
A free world needs cryptocurrencies.
Data mining to produce Bitcoin is a serious environmental hazard, using huge amounts of electricity by rows and rows of computers.
Okay. Unlike the bank or the government, banks or the government.
Then pick a proof of stake coin. This guy probably doesn't know what proof of stake is, but there are alternatives to proof of work.
Yeah, there are cryptocurrencies out there that are selling themselves about how, you know, environmentally friendly they are. So you can just throw that one out. But beyond that, the whole point about the environment is total bunk anyway, because the amount of the electricity used by Bitcoin is much lower than that used by banks.
Or
way
by
lower.
The government to, you know, destroy the world.
Yeah. But he doesn't understand. Who needs cryptocurrencies? All he hears about is the negative sides. Oh, the drug dealers. Oh, the ransomware. Oh, all this bad stuff out there. But as you pointed out, Arya, a ton of the transactions, the supermajority, like the vast supermajority, are completely legitimate transactions between, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of people around the world are using these cryptocurrencies. But a bunch of them are, and it's not all about money. As Bonnie touched on earlier, some of these things do completely different things. They do online computing tasks, online storage tasks, online video retrieval.
Well, no, as far as I'm aware, we're probably the only media organization talking about how, you know, a year ago someone went into this store and they got their car repaired and they paid in cryptocurrency.
That's right.
MSNBC isn't writing an article about that.
603-283-6160. Hour number three is on the way. More from this ignorant bastard. It is Free Talk Live, and you, of course, can share your thoughts with us. Maybe you agree with him. Lay it out for us. This is Free Talk Live.
After a devastating war, the alien visitors were driven back, and their willing human collaborators were left behind to face the music. When Emma Jean Anderson's ex-lover springs her from prison, Nathan Foster and his 14-year-old nephew, Ben, are tasked with bringing the pair to justice. An easy enough job until they discover something is inside Emma Jean, and the fate of the planet hangs in the balance. The Family Business by Mike Coopery from BaneBooks.com.
Free Talk Live.
You're listening to Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. The call-in number here is 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight with you is Bonnie.
It's Ian.
And Arya.
And we want to tell you about Odyssey.
Yes. I love Odyssey. And this week we're going to be doing something very special with Odyssey come Wednesday night on...
Oh, yes, we are.
Yeah, on She Talk Live. In fact, we probably should send like a newsletter about this. I need to remember to do that at some point.
I think it's a great advertisement in the way that you guys plan to set it up.
Well, that was all Ian, right?
We have to talk about what it is.
Sure.
Do you want to say what it is? Because it was your idea.
Yes. We're doing a... Okay, I don't want to get into all of the backstory, but basically, it's Topless Tuesdays happened here on Free Talk Live for years. It's never been an issue. This past week, I rejoined on Topless Tuesdays and was topless myself. Nothing seems to have resulted from that. However, we have been suspended from various video platforms in the past for me being topless on their platforms.
For listeners don't know, you're trans.
Yes.
And plus, your nipples weren't really in the frame.
Yeah, I don't think they were ever in the frame at any point. The first chair here is not the chair to make that statement.
Mm.
But I decided, you know, that it's stupid anyway that a male can be topless and not have it be an issue at all, but a trans female can't be topless and a cis female can't be topless. So I was like, let's do a topless episode of She Talk Live. And that was the idea that I put forward. And we've got several people who are interested. I'm trying to stick with the people who are on the show most regularly, mm-hmm. obviously. And it's going to be myself, Angie and Nikki, Wednesday night at my studio, streaming to Odyssey.
In 1080p.
Yes.
Oh, my. Well, now, Odyssey...
that's right. Odyssey is 720, isn't it?
I don't know if it's restricted to 720, but the bandwidth is restricted, so if you want it to look better, you should stay at 720.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
my
still,
bad.
Well, it will be the...
We can talk about that during the break.
Yeah.
I think the replay can actually... I think we, instead of choosing the replay, we could just upload the video.
You could upload a higher quality, yeah, later on. That's
so that
true.
May be the way to go.
Yeah. But either way, it's going to be exclusive to the Odyssey platform. Now,
for obvious reasons.
And, well, let's talk about those reasons. The centralized platforms that are out there have very stringent restrictions on content. And we can't. Yeah, maybe a guy can be topless, but we can't see.
Well, they can't
female.
Be, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this, because they don't. When we looked into this for Aria Uncensored, what we uncovered was that Twitch, in particular, they have a no topless policy.
That's true
for male and female. It's all not allowed. You have to be fully clothed, or you can't be bare. I don't remember exactly what terminology they used, but it was not gender or sex specific.
Yeah, nothing happened Tuesday night when Conan and Ian were in full view.
That may just simply be because no one reported it. You know,
it could be. I have to imagine, though, with all of the algorithms and technology, they have the methods.
They do have a way to detect human skin being shown. That's true.
They're bound to have that.
Creepy.
And I can't. And Aria Uncensored. No one was watching that. Maybe like 15 people.
Yeah, but you got your dedicated reporters. I mean, there's people constantly following you, obsessed with you, and snitching on you. Like, think about the Republican woman that was talking about you that one day. You weren't there, but I told you about her. How we were. This was back when we were more active in the Republican Party here in Keene. And I was going to the meetings fairly regularly, and it was hard for you to get up at 10 a.m. or whatever, so you weren't there that regularly. And one day they were talking about, wow, did you see what Aria was posting on Facebook? I mean, they were watching every single post you made. And this was before you were running for sheriff.
Good. It's nice living in people's heads.
Yeah. So anyway, you've got your fans, so to speak, out there who just love to hate you, and I think they're more than likely to report what they can. But in the case of Wednesday night, from 7 to 10 Eastern time, the other platforms will have Free Talk Live, but they will have a different version of the show. It'll still be the live show; it just won't have any topless ladies on
it.
And so you'll be encouraged to check out the Odyssey platform if you haven't already done so. Go to video.freetalklive.com, and that is where you can follow our Odyssey channel, because that's where we're posting the show, like the official – I'm going to call it the official video archive, because we actually take the time to title it. We take the time to actually put the show description on it, whereas the other video platforms, they don't actually – I don't know. Do any of them even hold an archive for more than a couple of weeks?
Just YouTube, I think.
Yeah, Twitch doesn't have like anything you can look back on, right?
I think there's like 2 weeks on Twitch, maybe a few weeks on DLive or something like that.
And then they're gone.
But yeah, and they delete them, and that's fine. That's their platform. That's what they do.
Sure.
YouTube, of course. Yeah, we have a YouTube channel, but it hasn't actually had a video stream to it in months because it's locked down due to various different strikes. Your channel is, I believe, where we've been streaming to, Aria. But again, all these things can be taken down at a moment's notice. Archives that go back for years could be completely wiped out on these centralized platforms. And Odyssey is a way around that. It is backed by Library, which is a decentralized blockchain-based media sharing protocol that is uncensorable.
Yes.
So if our listeners haven't yet done so, get on over to video.freetalklive.com. The easiest thing you can do, sign up for an Odyssey account, follow our channel. That's the easiest thing. Now, you want to take it to the next level? Download the Library app at library.com, LBRY.com. Get the app, put it on your desktop or your laptop computer, and then any video you watch, whether it's ours or some other one, you become a seed, basically. If you're familiar at all with torrents and how those work, every person who downloads the file then becomes sort of like a server to help keep that file alive, so to speak. Keep that file uncensorable on the internet forever. So that's if you want to take it to the next level. Also, when you sign up for Odyssey, they'll ask you if you have a YouTube channel that you want to convert to, upload it basically to Odyssey to protect all of your YouTube videos, which...
Awesome feature.
Yeah, they've made it so easy to do this YouTube transfer thing now. Like, if you've got a YouTube channel, there's no reason not to do this.
Especially if it's liberty-oriented, like if you're an auditor or First Amendment auditor or anything like that, then you really should be backing up to Odyssey.
Yeah, so check it out, video.freetalklive.com. That's where you can get started. Bonnie, did you want to keep going with this crypto article that I had?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been discussing... Bye-bye Bitcoin is the article's title. It's time to ban cryptocurrencies. Written by a man who admits in the first sentence, quote, "I've never quite understood why cryptocurrencies are worth anything." Well, have you bothered asking? I mean, maybe you could
looking
try...
Looking into it?
Yeah, maybe you could try actually talking to somebody who thinks cryptocurrencies are worth a thing. You know, there's this neat thing called the internet out there where all kinds of people have opinions they'll give to you.
I mean, he could learn everything he wanted to know in just a few minutes at Bitcoin.com.
He probably could, and that's a great website. You can click Get Started to learn more there.
But the real issue is he hates it, and he doesn't want it to be worth anything.
Well, he's a government guy. And he's heard all the bad things about crypto, about how, you know, criminals use crypto. Of course, we should remind you, criminals also use cash. A lot more of it, actually. They use way more criminals, use way more cash to do their criminal enterprises than cryptocurrency.
Just think for a moment, though. This is a guy who is introduced to this new technology, and his immediate reaction isn't curiosity. Ooh, this sounds intriguing. I want to learn more about this. His immediate reaction is, nope, get rid of it. I don't like it.
Sounds like the type of people we need leading us and making decisions for us.
He says governments should guarantee safe, stable, and usable money. Already, according to the Atlantic Council Geoeconomic Center CBDC tracker, now CBDC is a central bank digital currency, something that is being developed in the different countries of the world, but hasn't actually come out yet. 81 countries representing 90% of the world's gross domestic product are at various stages of researching and exploring the adoption of digital currencies. The four largest central banks, the European Central Bank, the Bank of England, the Bank of Japan, and the U.S. Federal Reserve, are all exploring CBDCs, though the U.S. lags behind. Meanwhile, China is already digitizing its currency, the RMB, and allowing foreign visitors to use it for payments. Though China is still a long way from having an international reserve currency to rival the dollar, its digitized RMB is a step in that direction.
That's one thing I don't understand. The USD is already largely digital. How much conversion is really necessary?
Free Talk Live. You can call in anytime at 603-283-6160. More coming up. Back to Free Talk Live. This is talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. That's the call-in line number here at the studio. You can call in and talk about anything you want. You can bring up a new subject. You can talk about what we're talking about, which is currently government man doesn't understand Bitcoin, wants it banned.
Yes, he is a government man, although it's not clear what his current role is. He talks about his history of working for governments throughout different administrations. So he was there during the Bush administration. He was there during the Obama administration. He's a, you know, full-on.
At least 12
years. So he's also old.
Yeah, full-on government bureaucrat. And he loves himself a central bank. He loves government money. In fact, he's very excited. In fact, this story isn't so much about why Bitcoin should be banned. He's already sort of made his case on that, and it was very short. It was, scary things happen with Bitcoin. We need to ban it.
But many more scary things happen with USD.
Oh, yeah. Like where the government steals your money from your bank account anytime they want to because they control the banks. Or when the government prints out more U.S. dollars to steal value from you, even though they haven't actually taken your dollars directly. They're taking the value from them.
Out of your savings account?
Yeah.
Or when they steal from you to pay for bombs and the drug war and all of these other atrocities committed by the U.S. government around the globe. Or the concentration camps scattered throughout the United States for Hispanic immigrants.
But this story is actually more like a fantasy. This guy really gets into like how excited he is about the central bank digital currency idea.
I can imagine how confused a person has to be like, I love my government currency. I tend to believe most people just tolerate it because mm-hmm. it's what they know.
It's all there is.
Yeah. But this guy, he loves it.
Sure,
full-on Stockholm syndrome.
Well, because the government currency is about control. It's about, you know, the government being able to manipulate the value of this thing and therefore to steal from people, because that's ultimately what inflation is. We touched on inflation earlier in the show tonight when Biden was rambling about it at a recent town hall event and not making any sense whatsoever. But ultimately, it is a tool to steal value from the American population and from the world, by the way, because it's the world's reserve currency. everyone holding dollars. So all those people in El Salvador and the other countries of the world, Zimbabwe, places where they use the dollar as their sort of official currency, or even those places like Venezuela where it's sort of unofficially tolerated, that these are places where anyone holding the dollar, every time the U.S. government prints up another trillion, prints up another 100 billion or whatever, then that literally steals the value from their savings.
And for the people who are okay with this, you got to think how these other countries feel about this, sending actual stuff of value to the United States. They're going to wake up one day and realize that, you know, they have stacks of useless paper and they gave away all of this useful stuff for that paper. They're not going to be happy about it.
So let me get into this part where he starts salivating over the CBDCs. He already pointed out that the central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, are being developed. They're being researched. They're being considered. So it's not a done deal yet here in the United States. They haven't passed anything. They're just talking about it.
Well, they don't know how to do it.
That's true. So they're watching China, because China is one of the leading countries that's trying to move forward in this area. And he says, nonetheless, caution is well advised. By the way, this story is over at thehill.com. As there are important, complex issues that must be sorted out before launching an official digital currency, these issues include equity. Should the digital dollar be available to all, or just used for certain business transactions? I would argue it must be for all. Should a U.S. CBDC augment cash or totally replace it? And would there be a transition period?
It has to be all, or you're going to immediately have two currencies.
Like one, Cuba.
One reserved for the rich and one reserved for the poor.
Wow, Cuba did that?
They attempted to. It was confusing.
They did it for about 15 years, and now as of June, they stopped doing it. Mm. So now Cuba has one official currency again. But should it augment cash or totally replace it? Well, I suspect that if they do bring this thing about, they will have the intention of totally replacing it.
Well,
it
cash won't be popular. Is already useless.
What do you mean?
I mean, there's nothing you can really use cash for other than black market stuff.
I don't agree. I bought things with cash.
USD for. I mean, that you can't use a debit card for.
Well, that's true. But part of the argument behind the CBDC, and I don't think he's going to make it here, but one of the arguments that the federal people are making is it will help the unbanked. Because if you're an unbanked person, you don't have a debit card.
The government can just be your bank.
That's right.
Poor unbanked person. Maybe they don't want a bank.
That's right.
Or maybe the bank won't let them have an account.
That's part of the reason why. But also, Bonnie, you're right. There are people out there who are like, screw the banks. I like cash. Right? They don't want traceability. They don't want their transactions to be known. Whether they be drug dealers or whatever their deal is, you know, they just don't like...
Well, they have the right to privacy for whatever reason they want privacy.
They should. And the government is not interested in that. They're interested in control, and they're interested in knowing everything that you do. And of course, that's the benefit of a digital currency, is everything would be tracked. So I think that even though it would be unpopular, they would want complete compliance with the CBDC. But again, they're still developing it, and this guy's like salivating. How are they going to do it? Oh, here are their options.
Look at how many different ways they can control us.
He says, then there's the impact on private banks. Should individuals have bank accounts with the Fed rather than private banks?
Oh, God, dude, why? Why would anyone ever want that?
Well, this is why the private banks are against the central bank digital currency. They're the ones they're actually arguing against CBDCs, because they see that it means that they will lose accounts.
I never in my life expected to be on the same side
of the banks.
Yeah.
What should the relation...
Don't worry, Wells Fargo. I have your back, even if you don't have mine.
Right. What should the relation between private banks and the Fed be with regard to currency? Should businesses have digital wallets? He puts that in quotes. How would international payments work? And not least, there's the question of privacy and surveillance. A digitized dollar would likely make it hard to dodge taxes with untraceable cash.
It would make it impossible. That's part of the point.
Yeah, but just how traceable would the public and Congress accept a CBDC to become? There's not going to be an option. There's not going to be like, here's a private CBDC.
Wouldn't they have to, you know, somehow get rid of cryptocurrency before this could happen? Because all I'm thinking right now is, I just won't use that. I'll just use cryptocurrency.
Well, that's why he wants to ban it.
But the average person would probably use the CBDC.
Yes.
The central bank digital currency.
And they would be incentivized to, as Cyprian points out on Twitter, formerly known as Vin Armani here on Free Talk Live, as he's pointed out, they're going to encourage people to get the CBDC wallet by giving welfare payments in the CBDC wallet. So right now, the money that the government gave out during the COVID checks, remember that from last year and earlier this year or whatever?
And ongoing this year, presumably?
Those go into bank accounts. Or yeah, the child payments that they're making, the $300 a month payments, child tax credit payments, those are going into bank accounts for right now. But once they launch the CBDC, they're going to say, hey, if you want to get this welfare payment, if you want to get this free money, oh, look, Congress passed a free money bill. All you got to do is sign up for this new CBDC wallet here from the Federal Reserve, and you'll get your first $1,000 on us. A lot of Americans are going to be incentivized that way.
What do you think? Do you think that people should just learn about cryptocurrency because it's obviously better? Free Talk Live.
So you ran out of...
Do you feel like your country no longer holds your values? Have you dreamt of a place where liberty-minded people can come together and leave government overreach behind? There are many people just like you that are discovering FreePrivateCities.com. They start at FreePrivateCities.com and connect via the social media links shown there. All skills will be needed when the first of the Free Private Cities open. It's sooner than you think. Stop arguing and build FreePrivateCities.com. FreePrivateCities.com.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160 is the call-in number. If you want to be on the air with us, bring up anything you want. We actually have a caller on the line right now. With me in the studio is, it's me, Bonnie.
And Ian.
And Arya.
And so far we've been talking about a government man who wants to ban Bitcoin so that the government can make its own cryptocurrency that will suck more.
Yeah, this guy, well, okay, so we got to clarify what you said there, Bonnie. They're not going to make a cryptocurrency.
Oh, a digital
currency.
They'll
make it digital, yeah.
Right. Now, some people will say, well, you already have digital dollars, the Visa and banks. I mean, a lot of these money dollars that are moving around on computers are digital. So why is this different?
From what we looked up when we discussed this previously, the difference is that a digital currency or a virtual currency has to be 100% digital or virtual. Not 99.99%, 100%.
Well, plus another key difference is the central bank digital currencies that they're talking about would literally mean you would have, if you had it, would mean you would have an account with the central bank. So the banks that you're used to, the so-called private banks.
Which aren't even that private.
Yeah, which are arguably just arms of the privately owned arms of the Federal Reserve.
They'll do anything the Federal Reserve goons tell them to.
And any other government agency tells them to, for that matter. But this would essentially cut those banks out of the equation, and just to have every American would, and presumably foreigners, every American at least, would then be given one of these central bank digital currency accounts. Probably everybody with a social security number would be issued one of these things, or would be able to sign up for them. Now, you know, what level of shoving it down people's throats we will see when and if this thing does come to fruition, we don't yet know. But as I said earlier, they're likely going to use welfare payments as an incentivization to get people to opt in, to get people to sign up for this. And that's the key difference here, is that this isn't bank controlled, like private bank controlled.
Yeah, this is straight government controlled.
Straight up accounts with the central bank.
And I have to wonder, again, I know I've asked this question before, but where are the Christians? This is straight Mark of the Beast sounding stuff here.
I was wondering where they were during the COVID crackdowns. It was crazy to me that even my parents were like, yeah, our church is making us wear a mask.
Well, to be fair, some of the Christians were absolutely standing up. I mean, we did just talk about the guy who got arrested in Canada early on in COVID. There was a pastor in Tampa who was arrested for holding services. There was another pastor, I think, I don't know if it was Louisiana or something like
that.
Tonight
we talked about one in Tennessee.
Yeah, so there's definitely been some of them. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, the Christians have been pretty obedient and pretty state-worshipping. But I mean, to be fair, CBDCs are kind of a niche topic. I mean, there's probably not a whole lot of Christians that know a lot about Bitcoin, number one.
Well, sure, because Because the Christians who are aware of the Mark of the Beast convinced themselves in 1998 that 666 was the computer binary code because they didn't want to learn about that either.
Yeah, when binary is actually zeros and ones. It has nothing to do with 666.
No, of course not.
Well, we do have a caller on the line who wants to talk about Bitcoin. James,
oh, great.
From apparently the Garden of Gethsemane.
Press
you're
the
on...
lower button and oh. then you'll get a red light and then he's on.
James, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello?
Yosemite's in Northern California, Bonnie.
Oh, Yosemite.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yosemite.
And it's ironic, Jesus overturned the tables of money changers in so-called churches. And
he did, and that's one of the most inspirational stories in the Bible, man.
Yeah, Jesus basically murdered someone because the Bible also says that if you get angry, it's the same as murdering someone. He got angry and he overturned tables.
About when people.
Unfortunately, James,
connection.
Your connection isn't sounding very hot.
Yeah.
In the church.
Are you actually in Yosemite?
Bitcoin. You want me to send you the pictures, James?
What?
It's so bad.
It's one of my favorite mountains.
Yeah, he's
okay,
going to have
to
call another time.
Sorry, you can call another time, James. Yeah. We can't hear you.
Not going to work out.
Well, we tried.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And he seemed to actually want to have a conversation. It's refreshing when
yeah, it's
he
too
actually...
bad.
He could have been, you know, cussing us out, but we couldn't understand.
He's usually pretty good about not doing that.
Usually.
Oh, okay.
And he didn't insult you when you answered the phone. So, I mean, he might have been in a good mood tonight. It's too bad. I would have liked to have heard what he had to say.
Well, his connection is really bad. That's why I thought he said Gethsemane. Plus, he's just a weird Jesus person. Like a creepy Jesus person. So it sounds like something he would say.
But, I mean, Jesus chased the money changers from the temple. And I don't recall the exact story or the reasons why, but it wasn't how most Christians interpret it. Hmm. I don't remember the specifics.
So this guy at thehill.com, what does he want to do? Well, not only does he encourage the idea of the central bank digital currency, but he also wants to see the world's major powers cooperating in the outlawing of cryptocurrencies. Because, I mean, if the U.S. outlaws cryptocurrencies, which I would argue they're going to have a very tough time doing under freedom of speech, I think that's going to be something that could be challenged if they did try it. I think you're seeing a lot of Congress people buying Bitcoin and talking positively about it. So, I mean, they're not likely to be wanting to outlaw a thing that they themselves possess. So I think that
I don't even know how they could. I mean, even if they said, okay, this is illegal now, that's beyond the enforcement capabilities of the U.S. government.
Well, they could say it's illegal to accept and then crack down on any businesses that were accepting it.
True.
They would immediately shut down all exchanges that are operating within the United States jurisdiction.
Yeah, I don't see them going to these lengths.
Okay,
I mean,
but they
it
could.
It would be pretty easy. It's not the same as, like, you know, selling a drug. They could be a store could be like secretly selling drugs, but they'd be caught pretty quickly. It'd be a lot harder for them to catch people secretly accepting crypto, don't you think?
Well, I mean, if you're secretly accepting it, yeah, it would be hard to catch that. But most businesses aren't secretly selling drugs, and I suspect most of them wouldn't secretly accept Bitcoin if it was known to be illegal, because then, you know, you're dealing with, well, am I accepting this from an undercover cop? Is this a sting operation? And, you know, your average business just wants to do business. They don't want to risk, you know, potential jail time.
Not to mention losing their business.
Correct. So he wants governments of the world to come to an agreement regarding rules and regulations on central bank digital currencies and also outlawing cryptocurrencies. He says that China has always, with an eye on control, has indicated skepticism, if not disdain, towards cryptocurrencies. Indeed, that was one driver in Beijing's swift move.
Was that a Freudian slip? There is so much lack of self-awareness in that statement. China, always with an eye on control, wants to get rid of Bitcoin, and he's writing an article about wanting to get rid of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies.
Oh, he wants to follow their lead.
And he doesn't seem to connect the two instances that he's only concerned about controlling people.
Well, I don't know if he doesn't connect that. I suspect that's exactly his concern.
You think he has that much self-awareness where he's like, I want to control people?
Yeah, we can't let people do things without permission. I mean, we need to know everything they do all the time. We're governments.
But do you think he would be complimenting China?
I think anyone who compliments China and their governmental policies is not someone I want in government at all.
Well, he actually says this could be an area of U.S.-China cooperation worth exploring.
cracking down on the economics of freedom.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound worth exploring.
He says if China were on board, the possibility of a UN Security Council resolution to ban cryptocurrencies could be in the cards. That would be a foundation for taking the issue to the Group of 20 to make it a global norm.
Okay, yeah, I see the fantasy here.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't think the U.S. and China would agree on this, as they seem to just be taking wildly different approaches to cryptocurrency in the first place. But the U.S. government and the Chinese government are notoriously at odds with one another right now, and they're not just to spite each other. They wouldn't agree to this.
Well, that's basically the story. Then goes sort of rehashes the whole ransomware scare tactic and, you know, suggests that...
It's always fear-mongering with the state, man.
It has to be.
Because they don't have any other method, right? Other than, you know, dragging people out of their homes or whatever, actual aggression, the closest thing they have is fear.
They need that because then, well,
you need us. You need us because scary stuff is out there. We can protect you.
And they don't seem to be very good at that because people who are vaccinated with the government-approved vaccines are still getting COVID-19. So much so that they're upset at unvaccinated people. It's insane.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that coming up, right?
Coming up, why are vaccinated people upset at people who didn't get the job?
They mad. You can
Free
call
Talk
in.
Live. More is coming. Oh, 603-283-6160. Last segment, this is Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. That's the phone number to call in. Well, it's the last segment, so I guess
we can still take your calls.
We can still take your calls, unless you're James from Arizona in what's it called? Yosemite right now.
Well, that's what he says, but I mean, if he's really sitting there at Yosemite National Park, stewing in hatred about Free Talk Live so much so that he has to repeatedly call, then just that is the saddest thing.
He's been stewing in hatred for 10 years at this point.
I know, but can you imagine being out at a national park surrounded by nature,
enjoying the beauty, or supposedly
paying to be there,
and instead going, oh, Free Talk Live is on right now, I'm angry about it, and I need to call them repeatedly.
Well, to be fair, he didn't sound angry, at least in the few words we heard from him before the phone started to break.
He sounded kind of angry on when I picked him up. He was like, Yosemite.
Okay,
annoyed.
Yeah. I mean, he's usually that way.
And plus, he was like, Bonnie, Yosemite is in Northern California, because I thought he said Gethsemane.
He doesn't act a lot like Jesus Christ, that's for sure, for a so-called Christian.
Sure, well, Jesus certainly never got a Dewey.
What's
and
a
I heard a DUI. And
but he did turn water into wine. I mean, maybe he would have.
He probably just couldn't drive or read.
Well, I don't think they handed out Deweys for riding on donkeys back then.
No, but I'm saying, like, maybe he would today.
Well, there
True.
Are other
he
people.
He wasn't perfect.
There are other people that are mad right now, and Aria's got the story about that.
There are, and this really came to my attention on social media, where I don't remember exactly what I posted, but someone started an argument in the comments about how this is all the fault, the rise in infection rates, and everything could go back to normal, everything would be fine, but the unvaccinated simply have to get vaccinated because they're the problems here. They're spreading it to the community. They're a risk to their community. They're a risk to friends and family. And I was like, but why though? If their friends and family are vaccinated, how could they possibly be a threat to them? And I have yet to get an answer on that very basic, obvious question. Right. Like, if you're vaccinated against the measles, I'm not a threat to you if I have the measles.
Right. Because that's actually how vaccines are supposed to work. They're supposed to create an immunity where one didn't exist before.
But in this particular example, that simple reasoning doesn't seem to apply. They're mad because they got the jab and someone else didn't.
Well, presumably it means that the jab, or in this case, the quote unquote vaccine, isn't actually a vaccine.
No, it seems to be useless. COVID infection rates are surging in every state.
Well, hold on. It's not useless to the vaccine companies.
True.
They're
or the government.
Billions on this. Hundreds of billions.
Experts say the upper trend is being fueled by the Delta variant and by unvaccinated Americans. As of last week, more than 97% of people admitted to a hospital for COVID had not gotten the vaccine. New projections show COVID cases nationwide will likely to continue to rise over the next few months, peaking in mid-October. Daily deaths could more than triple from current levels, rising back up to around 850 per day. At this hospital in Jackson, Mississippi, the state with the lowest vaccination rate in the country, the hospital's director of medicine told CBS this morning, "It's getting scary. They've stopped allowing visitors, only FaceTime visits now, and they're on the verge of canceling non-emergency surgeries." CBS Jeez. This morning lead, right? You can't get a surgery at a hospital now because of a cold.
William and that's Ball, the way it was last year. So they're going back, or they're talking about going back to the way it was in 2020.
In reality, we don't even know if there's not a surge of people going to the hospital because of the vaccines.
Right.
That's true. Well, okay. We were talking with a couple of nurses at a party over the last weekend, the Ian Fest, as they called it. Like 40 people showed up here from Fork Fest, which was pretty cool. But one lady was a nurse from California, and she says that her and her mom have been a nurse there in that hospital that she works at for, like, you know,
she
four
said 50
decades.
Years.
Yeah.
Well, her family, at least.
Right. And that they've never seen the admissions like they're seeing right now of people with things like blood clots. That are supposedly, you know, they can't say for sure, why, but, you know, maybe it's because of the vaccination.
And she said, are there a lot of people in there for COVID too? And she said there's like way less than normal right now.
William Ball is 52 and no longer infectious, but he's too sick to go home. He had a heart attack in June and then developed COVID 9 days later. Someone who I skipped over that part of the article because it got boring, asked his wife, Alicia, how badly has COVID ravaged his body? Now, they didn't ask the doctor this. They asked his wife. Extremely bad, she replied. He can't even get up. Now, this is someone who had a heart attack and then had COVID and now can't get up. To me, seems more likely that the heart attack is the ultimate culprit of that. But, you know, this is why you ask the wife and not the doctor. There will be people who watch this who don't think the virus is serious. We didn't either, his wife said. I'm not going to lie, we had no idea. She got vaccinated, but he didn't. They both got sick, but only he ended up in the hospital. So it's an open admittance here that despite being vaccinated,
she still got sick.
She did, in fact, get COVID-19. She just didn't get hospitalized. And they're drawing the connection there that he got, that she didn't get hospitalized because she was vaccinated.
But, ignoring the fact he just had a heart attack.
But correlation does not equal causation, especially when you have a heart attack patient 9 days ago having COVID. I mean, his immunity system probably wasn't in the best of shape 9 days after a heart attack. Vicky McKnight is 64. She said her doctor told her not to get the COVID vaccine because she's allergic to the flu vaccine. She said a second doctor told her she needed to get it, but before she could, she contracted COVID at a funeral. She told, I don't know, I wish I had not skipped the part about who this name is. She told someone that her husband got the vaccine and also got COVID, but unlike her, he did not end up in the hospital. Edward Clinton, 38, when he showed up at the hospital sick with COVID, he didn't even know why he had he didn't even know he had underlying conditions. He too is unvaccinated. I want to tell everyone, please take the shot. And it goes on and on with some of these examples. Even people that got both doses, if they have underlying conditions, we don't know if they got a full antibody response. Their immune system may be weakened, said Dr. Terry Oakes Dias, director of hospital medicine at St. Dominic Jackson.
So what are they trying to say? Like, if you have underlying conditions, you're going to get...
If you have underlying conditions, it seems to suggest that you don't get a full immunization from the virus that could kill you over these underlying conditions, presumably. I don't know, and neither do they.
It sounds like they're just making an excuse here, like, okay, well, those people with underlying conditions were the ones that died of COVID before the vaccine, and now if you also have underlying conditions, when you contract COVID after you get the vaccine, you'll probably still end up dying or in the hospital.
Yes.
So basically the vaccine does nothing.
Excellent observation, yes.
I mean, that's what I'm getting out of this.
I've never heard somebody say, like, oh, I got vaccinated from measles as a kid, but I have this underlying condition,
so I got measles anyway,
yeah.
And then I got hospitalized because of the underlying condition that made getting measles worse. It's making us even come back and question, should we be giving booster doses now that those with now to those with underlying medical conditions. And it's basic questions like that. And that's why I brought this in. Basic questions like that. While the media is suddenly talking about booster shots, this doctor, the director of medicine at one of these hospitals, is saying, we don't even know whether or not we should give a booster to people with underlying conditions or what effects that may have. And as you pointed out rightly, people with underlying conditions are getting hospitalized with COVID, vaccinated or unvaccinated. It really doesn't seem to matter. What matters is whether or not they have those underlying conditions, not their vaccination status. It's almost like the vaccination literally didn't do anything because people can still get it.
Right. Vaccinated people are being told in places like California that they have to put a mask on, or in LA County at least, they have to wear a mask going into any sort of place.
And if they have those underlying conditions that we heard about all throughout last year, they're still going to end up hospitalized because of those underlying conditions, vaccinated or not. The variable here is not whether or not a person has been vaccinated or unvaccinated, but whether or not they're healthy or have underlying conditions. Mm. Back in William Ball's room, he was one of the people we skipped over because they just kept giving countless examples. A doctor was called to determine if Ball was having another heart attack. Oh no, this is one we got to. His wife, Alicia, spoke for him. He will get the vaccine when he gets out of the hospital.
Why? He already had COVID.
Well, the doctor asked if the guy was having another heart attack. And her response was, he will get the vaccine when he gets out. Nothing about a heart attack.
Sounds like a Biden reply to a question.
When he said, I want that vaccine, tell me what you're thinking. He's got to get out of the hospital first, she said, crying. Well, maybe if you focused on the heart attack, he might get out of the hospital a little bit faster. Deal with the underlying condition. Stop pretending like that's not the issue here. The issue here is a vaccine versus unvaccinated. It's healthy versus unhealthy.
How many people who got the first vaccine are going to line up for the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth? I mean, are we going to get diminishing returns?
How many people that already have COVID need to get vaccinated? This has been Free Talk Live. Thank you for listening. Every night at 7:30 to 10 Eastern Time.
The Crypto Six are preparing to defend ourselves against the state. On March the 16th of this year, the federal government came after Free Talk Live. They raided the studio. They arrested several of our hosts, one of whom, Rich Paul, also known as Nobody, remains in custody. They picked us thinking that they would find easy targets. Man, were they wrong, because we do not intend to back down. Visit thecrypto6.com to find out how you can join the war for freedom and financial liberty. Bitcoin isn't a crime. Cryptocurrency isn't a crime. Don't let the powers that be take control of cryptocurrency and establish the likes of Coinbase, Gemini, and Kraken as the next JP Morgan, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo. Keep cryptocurrency decentralized and beyond the control of the federal government. Go to thecrypto6.com to learn more about how you can join this fight. TheCrypto6.com.